G'day. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. However, whenever you're listening to this, and wherever you're listening to this, normally I listen to my podcast whilst I'm doing the washing up, or I'm in the shower. Those are the two places now I listen to podcasts. And sometimes when I go for a jog or when I'm going for a walk, but I think I've kind of got more into listening to my music. I don't know, whatever you do with your podcasts. Hi, thanks for coming over. Thanks for listening to this. Once a year, I try to do a solo podcast where I blurt out my thoughts and give you some ideas of what's going on in not just my world, but the world we're kind of all born in, really. It Starts With You podcast is all about unique perspectives on things, unique perspective on life and how people go and run their lives. From people, if you listen to some of my podcasts over on YouTube, I haven't got the audio on here yet, but I will do soon. People like the newbies, which quit their jobs, built a camper van and went traveling around Europe. Update on those guys. They live in Portugal now, on a farm that they're doing up with two children now. It's a phenomenal story. Those guys are awesome people. And then you got like Steve Trist, who used to be a comedian. Now he's running a business on presenting yourself and how to become something. Obviously, this year we had Adam Nichol with kind of what he does with his business and how his voice on LinkedIn has helped him develop his business and develop on what he does. And also you got Mitch Sullivan as well, which is the famous Mitch Sullivan in the recruitment world. If you do not know who he is, then you are not in recruitment. That's how I always look at it. He talks about copywriting, a little bit of retained, and a little bit of what happened to him on LinkedIn, being cancelled and then suddenly coming back, which is good. I'm glad he's back. He is one of my favorite people in the recruitment world, and other people I like as well, but definitely Mitch. I like people that talk sense, and I like people that look at reality and go, well, guys, this is how it works. Why are we not doing it? You know, some of the stuff that people like Mitch say, it's bloody obvious, isn't it? It's bloody obvious, and we need to really start thinking about it. And that kind of leads me into the thoughts of where we are with things. I don't know about you, I'm finding 2023 a better year than 2022. I nearly said four then. 2022. But there is, I like the challenges of 2023. The challenges of 2022 was a lot different. But the challenges this year, it seems to be more along the lines of I've had to start my business again. But I've got a lot of good things in the background that have helped me kind of boost me into the year, if that makes sense. It's a good feeling because it feels like companies are waking up. Some certain companies I haven't worked with for years have come back to me and said, oh, I need engineers to do this. And I'm finding it very, very, how can I put it? Interesting, I think is the right word. Because there's vacancies I'm getting that I haven't had for years. And the last couple of years, the vacancies I've been getting have been mostly backfilling sales roles, service roles, but now I'm getting what I like to call the engineering jobs. That's what I'm getting back. But that's, that aside, is the candidate side of it is the problem. And the candidate side of it, for me, you know, you've just got to develop a candidate stream to yourself. If you're a non-recruiter listening to this, a candidate stream, or if you're a recruiter listening to this and don't know what I mean by candidate stream, is basically you've got to be able to tell the world who you are, what you do. Set your market stall out. Show the world who you are. And then once they see who you are and trust who you are, they'll keep coming back and they'll keep asking you, you know, what, have you got a vacancy for me yet? Or have you got this? Or I'm looking for a job. How can you help? And it's all about creating trust. And that's how I kind of set up my market stall, is to be honest and trustworthy. And this is why I do things like podcasts and videos. I do a little bit of comedy videos as well, which I might talk about in a second. And other things as well. I try to be active on social media. I try to go on other people's podcasts. I try to go on other people's videos. I try to go guest star, write blogs, whatever it needs to be, basically. And it's all about driving candidates to your business to help them find jobs. And that's what I've been trying to do. But 2022, there was a very, very difficult time for candidates. Candidates didn't know if they wanted to leave jobs or not. 2023, there's a lot of uncertainty in the air, and businesses look at uncertainty different to candidates look at uncertainty, mostly because there's employment law issues, I think, personally. If we could align them, then I think we'll have a different marketplace. But what I mean by this is businesses look at uncertainty and think, right, if I pour a bit of money into this area, i.e. hire a person to do a bit more sales or hire a person to man a machine or something like that, I can produce XYZ output by 2024, 2025. And so they build a business plan, do a SWOT analysis and all that kind of stuff. Candidate side of it, they're nervous when they hear things like inflation and redundancies and recessions and all these words that are banned about in the media make candidates very nervous to move jobs. And we're in such a tight employment market where we're trying to find good people, and they're in the job for 2 or 3 years, and employment law comes into kicks in here, where after 2 years, most people are pretty much secured in the role. Mentally secured, you know, there is ways of making sure that your staff are producing the goods, basically, the performance that you need from them. But normally, if you're doing all right in the business, it's really, you're not going to go anywhere after 2 years. You can be made redundant, but then, you know, the normal stuff. It is, and that's slightly the fallacy of the 2-year rule as well, by the way. You can still be made redundant. Your role could be taken away from you. But anyway, more people, the longer in the job, feel more kind of just more relaxed, and they feel that the better they know the job, the better performance they are. And then changing jobs is, you know, changing anything in your life is extraordinary. We changed car many years ago, and my oldest son cried for 2 or 3 days because he loved the last car. He loved the colour of it, loved the sun, yeah, he loved everything about it. But then we changed to another car, and he cried and everything. And change is hard for people, really, really hard for people. And you've got to understand that about what we do as recruiters. We're flipping absolute change drivers. We push people, and it's a horrible way to say that, literally push people, but we show people the way to change their lives to make more money for themselves or have a better job across town, closer to home, whatever the hell the process is, or the role is. We do a lot to someone's life, and you know, up and leaving a job that you're comfortable in. So it's difficult. So when you hear the words like I say, words like recession and stuff like that, people become very uneased. Do they apply for jobs when they don't need to apply for jobs? And what I mean by that, and it goes back to what people like Mitch Sullivan say about copyright. When you write a great advert, people engage with the advert, and you're trying to engage with the people that are not on the market. And that's how I try to work with, is the people which are always looking around, and that's those people are the ones looking at your adverts, believe it or not, and reading what you're writing. And they'll apply for a job that they're kind of attracted to. And that gets harder if they're comfortable in a role or too scared to leave the role. So copyright and being honest and being and just being truthful to candidates is even more important today than it's ever been in the recruitment world, because people just will be too worried about their lives and moving forward. And it's difficult. I mean, like I said, that's the word I was looking for. Advocates of change. We are the advocates of change. We're very difficult, by the way, as recruiters, to change ourselves, because we find a groove or find a methodology that works, and we don't see it working anywhere else as well at the same time. So, you know, as much as we're advocates of change, we're the same as everyone else. We find change very difficult. I'll tell you a quick story. I used to work at a really big recruitment agency, and I was happy, but a company approached me that I had interviewed years before and said, listen, this is role that's come up. We think you'd be great for it. We remembered you from the last time. We really liked you. Would you like to come in and have a conversation about it? And I was happy where I was, but I thought, yeah, why not? Let's go and have a conversation. Let's go and see what's going on. And I went there and had a conversation. They offered me the job on the spot. I took the job, and I'll never forget day one in this company. Everyone in the company, by the way, I just want to say, are lovely people. And they're still good friends to this day, and still speak to them to this day, actually, on Facebook. And everyone in this company were lovely. But I remember sitting at the desk on day one, and something was going on in the office. Someone was having a hell of a time with a contractor, and it was all falling apart, and there was a lot of tears and a lot of arguing. And I'd never experienced this before, by the way. And I sat there going, oh, man. And I nearly that lunchtime picked up the phone to my old boss and said, can I come back? 3 months went by, by the way, in that role. And I was doing really well. I was like, I've never made so much money in those 3 months before because I had some really good contracts and I had a really good role and it was a no-brainer taking it. And my old boss approached me. I won't mention his name. Again, still friends with him to this day. Sometimes I can't believe I'm still friends with some of these people. And he approached me and says, would you like to come back? We really need someone to come back, but the window of you coming back is very small and I can't offer you more than what you last on. And I looked at it and I went, had he asked me that the first week or the first day even, I would have snapped his hand and said, yes, take me back. But I was like, no, I'm not coming back. And I realized in that moment why I left that job. And it was because what I was getting from the previous job was great and I enjoyed the people I'm working with, but the new job was giving me something extra. In recruitment, there's not much things you can give people, by the way. But for me, it was working with some really interesting clients, defense and aerospace I was working with, and some of the most interesting jobs I've ever worked on in recruitment. And it was a bit of self-importance as well, because one or two of the roles I was working with was very connected to some really serious projects as well within the defense and aerospace. And honestly, I was walking the halls of some of these companies and I truly enjoyed it. And the other thing as well is I loved about it as well. When you work those type of things, contractors talk to you differently to how normal people would talk to recruiters. And you've got to know your game. You've got to understand the role that you're recruiting. You've got to understand the projects that you're recruiting. And if you could talk passionately about them, they would look at you and go, yeah, I get that, Mark. And they'll ask you your opinion. And that was a new thing as well. People asking me my opinion. Even hiring managers asking me my opinion. Years on. I still remember that. Still remember that moment. Linking that back to today, this is what candidates are going through, that nervous moment, that worrying thing in their lives. And then moving on to other things, other thoughts. I've trying to do a 15-minute podcast. There's a couple of minutes left here, but I've got a few other thoughts to talk about. Is LinkedIn, how do I talk about this? I had this thing on LinkedIn once, this week, actually, where I talked about deposits for houses. And I was trying to think... Let me get the story out. I'm kind of being patchy with the story here. I should really get the story out. So I was saying to someone on LinkedIn that for 4 or 5 years, and starting the business at the same time, myself and my wife saved like mad to buy our first house. We had a child at the time. We went through a horrible time renting. And what we wanted to do was get the hell out of renting. But we had to make some massive sacrifices in our life to do it. So we couldn't have expensive holidays. And we did get rid of streaming services for a period of time. But we seemed to have... You seem to adjust your life to save money, and then when you start being able to save money regularly, money frees up, or you start making a bit of money, or the missus does a couple of extra shifts and there's money there, and then we start looking at going camping instead of going on holiday abroad, and that was cheap as well. So, and then you start saving, you start making some good decisions with your saving, you start putting your money away in places, and there we go. Suddenly you're there. It takes a long time, it's hard. Stick to budgets and you become extremely boring people because we didn't go anywhere, we didn't do anything, didn't go out drinking and stuff like that. And I was telling this person, and there's a lot of people in that thread that was extremely negative, and they really, really, really didn't like the thought of giving up stuff in their lives, which really made me kind of like, what? And the people were actually saying that. Well, why should I give up life luxuries for a system that's broken? And again, very political about it. And I don't disagree with them. The housing situation in the world, let alone in the UK, is dire. It's terrible. House building in the UK is slipped off the edge of the earth. And you can blame whoever you want for that, whatever political situation for that. It is what it is. And you've got to live with it. You can either accept the problem and move on, or you can fight and keep fighting against the problem and never get anywhere. And that's kind of how I kind of see it. And someone that was reading the thread pulled me to one side in LinkedIn messages and said something along the lines of, you work in recruitment, you are used to the problems of today, and you fight against the problems of today, or you make do and mend in the problems today. And that entrepreneurial kind of mindset that most recruiters have kicks into gear. And that's why you're able to do that, because you've been basically dogmed into this mentality of, it's never broken. There's always a way out of things. And I like that. I like the fact that that's how we think. And I'm linking that all back to what I've been saying about the resilience of the market, resilience of employers, and how candidates are really nervous about the world. Yet us recruiters are so positive and so focused and so determined to make sure that our world continues moving and we continue making money and we continue surviving, that it's turned us into... It has, isn't it? It's turned us into these real positive people in a very negative situation. And I've never seen anything like it. And all the recruiters I speak to day in, day out, all have a similar state of mind. Although they can be negative ninnies sometimes. And they say, oh, I'm going to the market. But then when they put that phone down to you, they carry on doing what they need to do in order to make money. And it's the same thing when you're trying to save to buy a house or a car or holiday or whatever it is. We really do have this unique perspective on the world of just driving forward. And I see it now more. Now that I've had that book mentioned to me this week, I do see it a lot more than I've ever seen it, if I'm quite frank, which is great. Which is what I wanted to part with you. Sorry I blabbed on for 17 minutes, but like I say, every year I try to do one podcast on my own so that I can get my thoughts out there. So you can get to know me as well and kind of understand where I'm coming from. But yeah, it's. I hope you liked it. If you want to hear more, just let me know. I'm going to put this on LinkedIn. And if you want to see me do a video recording or something like this as well, I've done one once before, but it didn't really get watched that much. But these get listened to more because, yeah, it's out there, isn't it? At the end of the day. Cool. Right. I've got to love you and leave you. Take it easy. Thank you for listening. And reach out if you want to be a part of this podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.